Season 2 of Love in Context podcast welcomes you. Get ready for engaging, unscripted conversations with your hosts, Ben and Spencer. Our mission remains unchanged: to explore the Bible through the powerful lens of love.
In this new season, we'll embark on a journey together, unearthing fresh insights and gaining deeper understanding of how we can love God and live out our faith in practical ways.
So let's dive into this season of Love in Context, where love and the context of the Bible intersect to transform our lives. Welcome back, everyone.
Love and Context Podcast.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about covenants.
And actually for the next few weeks.
Yeah, not to be confused with Halo.
Not to be confused with Halo.
We're talking about the covenant.
Yeah, if you grew up between like your teenage years or between like 97 and 2010, you might hear covenant and you're like, I'm going to be Master Chief. That's not what we're talking about today.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
So,
nice try.
I was just clarifying.
Yeah, it's a good clarification. So there is there's a number of covenants that we're going to be covering. Today we're going to be talking about the Adamic covenant. Next week we're going to be talking about the Noahic covenant. People actually do combine those covenants, and I'll explain why when we get through the Noahic covenant. We want to look at them both individually before we talk about them together. Then there's going to be the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then finally the Messianic covenant. And so that's going to be the next few weeks. And it's really important. I was actually just having this conversation with somebody today about there's presumptive knowledge in the Bible, right? There's presumptive knowledge that the writers are going to assume that you have. And one of those things is in the ancient Near East, and even to this day, they still have covenants, just not in the same way. Covenants is a it's thoroughly ingrained in their history and their culture. And so when they talk about covenants, it's not necessarily something that we're super familiar with in American culture. So we're going to try to just take some high-level ideas so that as you encounter them and as we encounter them in the Bible, we're like, oh, right, so this is this covenant and this has to do with this. What were some Jewish thoughts on this and how do we actually ingrain those things, right? So two resources I'm going to recommend that I think are really, well, actually three resources. One is the Bible. I feel like that's going to really help you get into the text. Another one is Sandra Richter's Epic of Eden. I'm going to put that on the screen so people can see. Epic of Eden. And then there's a, another book called Peter Gentry's Kingdom, Covenants and Kingdom, or Kingdom Through Covenants. I forget the exact title. If you look up Peter Gentry and Covenants, that's what's going to pop up. So if you are somebody who does not like big words or long diagrams, Epic of Eden is going to be the one for you. And if you're a person who likes to get into the minutiae, Peter Gentry is going to be a little bit better for you. If you're looking for like an overview, an entry point to have that conversation, Epic of Eden is going to be your your jam. Sandra Richter is a great scholar, has some great input on that. But if you are a nerd like myself, Peter Gentry's is going to be a lot of fun, but they're going to use a lot of words that, once again, assumptive knowledge. So, and I'm going to refer back to their work on a relatively frequent basis throughout the series. All right. So let's talk briefly on what is a covenant, right? And so I'm actually going to pull out of chapter three of Richter's book, and she talks about how a covenant is a formal agreement or a relationship established by God with humanity, and it involves commitments, responsibilities, and blessings, right? Now, in the biblical context, there's a lot of them in the Old Testament, and they emphasize the framework of God's dealing with his people, and each covenant reveals something about God's character and about his intentions for his creation. So those are things we're going to be focusing on. The major covenants I told you about, Noahic, Adamic, the Abrahamic, the Mosaic, these are really important. And then, of course, the Messianic covenant. All of the covenants are meant to be relational. Relational. Wow, I can say words. I can say words. They're good words.
You need more coffee, man.
I do need more coffee. Hold on a second. We got coffee right here. I'm going to... I slurped a little bit so that the podcast listeners can know that I actually drank the coffee. So the covenants are going to be relational, and covenantal fidelity is crucial, okay? The obligations in the agreements reflect a deeper relationship between God and his people. Now, there is another aspect to it, because at the very end, when we recap this, we're also going to talk about how we have covenants with each other.
Yeah.
We're going to be specifically talking about the covenants between humanity and God. Mm-hmm. And then the last week, we're going to talk about how we exist in covenant with each other.
Yeah.
And how those things are coexisting, especially with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one we're going to be talking about, we're going to end up in Genesis 1, 126, right at the end of day 1. So I don't know if you guys know that it's the first page in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's known as the Adamic covenant, because it's made with Adam, and at the end of the first week. So if you remember all the way back to episode 2 mm-hmm. of Love and Context podcast, we talked about the creation story. Mm-hmm. And we talked about God's purpose in creation and all these different things. And so if you remember, this covenant is coming on the heels of this chiastic story where they talk about the purpose of humanity is meant to dwell with God in this place of rest and restoration, and out of that we're supposed to live into something,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the Genesis 1 story, is that we were created for purpose, not for nothing,
yeah,
right? We were created to be something with God, not because of something that we can do,
mm-hmm.
but because of whose image we're made in.
Yep.
And I think we're going to start in Genesis 1:26. Can you jump in there?
Yeah. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock, over the wild animals, over the creatures that move along the ground." And so God made mankind in his own image. The image of God he created, the male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit in it and seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth and birds of the sky and creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath and life, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that they had made, and it was very good. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
So right in the middle of this chiasm, because day six is in the chiasm, mm-hmm. and God makes this pronouncement, and we've dispelled this a bunch of times, but I'm going to say it one more time. Who is the covenant made with?
Mm-hmm.
It's made with man. Male and female, he created them. So it is not with just the male portion of the humanity. It's made with humanity overall.
Yeah.
We're calling it Adamic because Adam actually would be like dust or man.
Mm-hmm.
So like, please don't get it into your head that men are the only ones held to this or inside of this covenant. It is humanity overall.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things he says here is he says, so we're talking about this theme. It's going to be commitments, responsibilities, and blessings,
mm-hmm.
right? So what are the commitments that he says? He says, responsibilities. You need to be fruitful and multiply.
Yep.
Subdue the earth and fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you all of these things for you to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have authority over this land.
Yep.
Right? And the expectation with this is that the garden doesn't stay just a garden, but the garden continues to expand under the purview of humanity mm-hmm. as they are fruitful and multiply and yeah. subdue the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the invitation with this covenant.
Yes.
Now, of course, it doesn't end that way, but let's just stop here and talk about the Adamic covenant, because this is the covenant with all people made in the image of God. This is what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is what we are called to do. And by the way, the Adamic covenant didn't suddenly end.
Mm-mm.
Now, we will talk about how all the covenants are fulfilled in the person of Jesus. That is yeah. 4 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But that does not mean that they end. Remember that we've talked about how Jesus says, "I did not come to
abolish
the law, but to fulfill it," which means to put it on display. In other words, to actually live it out.
Yeah.
So this portion of the covenant is for all of humanity,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't end. So every single person we run into, which, by the way, that is should give us pause as we run into the image of God in the world with humanity.
Yep.
This person is responsible with being fruitful and multiplying, subduing the earth and filling it, and in other words, stewarding the world that we've been given.
Yes.
Every single person.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, non-Christian, follower of Christ, non-follower of Christ, we all have this responsibility to take care of this world that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at this point, God does give some specific conditions for this. So jump over to Genesis 2:15. The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And then the Lord commanded man, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. For if you eat of it, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whenever whatever the man called the creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to the livestock and the birds of the sky and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took out the man's rib and closed the place up with flesh. And then the Lord made woman from the rib he had taken out of man. And so he brought her to the man, and the man said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from man.
So, and that concludes with, they were both naked and they felt no shame. In other words, this covenant has been put in place, but there is no shame in this covenant at this point. So God has said, be fruitful and multiply. It's really hard to be fruitful by yourself, right? Especially in the terms of actually having children. That doesn't work. Not for humanity, at least. There are creatures in the world that are able to reproduce by themselves, but humanity is not one.
No.
And so you can't reproduce by yourself. So part of the covenant, then he comes and gives this responsibility, this commitment. So he says, I'm placing you in this garden. This is where you're going to start subduing the earth, and this is where you're going to start tending. And you can eat from everything except this tree. Now, one of the things we discussed, and I believe it was episode 3 of the podcast, so we're going back to our roots.
Yeah.
Is why would God put a tree there that is a temptation? And we talked about, like, with our children, is that when if we ask them to obey, if they never have the option to disobey, then they also never have the option to obey.
Yeah.
Right? And there is this tree is put here, and it's a clear instruction from God, like, what is good? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and fill it. What is bad? Don't eat from this tree.
Yeah.
Right? It's very clear guidelines of what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. So you could actually say, which is why we talked about whether or not this tree actually is the knowledge of good and evil, or is it the ability to determine good and evil on your own terms?
Yeah.
Because they already actually know what is good and what is evil.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so then pursuant to this covenant, which is to be fruitful and multiply, woman is created for man out of man. Two parts of the same whole. This commission is for both of them, right? Mm-hmm. So this is God's covenant from the beginning with Adam, with humanity. Now, I want to throw some things out here that I actually researched from Jewish thought. So it's from Jewish commentary, Midrash, and some other things. So one of their first things that they talked about is creation and humanity's role is that the image of God, they emphasize that humanity is created in Zalem Elohim, which is the image of God. Mm-hmm. That'll just roll off your tongue, by the way. which signifies a special status and responsibility in creation. It's often interpreted to mean that humans are stewards of the earth. I think we would both agree with that.
Yeah.
I also like the way they say special status.
Yeah.
In all of creation, there is, if you look at the world today and you have misgivings about different pieces of science or whatever, there is something different about humanity that we now populate the entire world. Mm-hmm. And control the world, and or at least as what we can't control. But they're always like humanity is finding ways to like exist in environments where they shouldn't exist. I think of like Antarctica, mm-hmm. right, where it's freezing cold and people figure out ways to live there, right?
Yeah.
Or how often are we trying to figure out ways to go deeper and deeper into the sea,
mm-hmm.
right? There is something about humanity that there's something special about humanity in the way that we are wired, that we go to places and we start to actually I'm going to say, this is not the right word, but I'm going to say cultivate them into places that we can exist.
Mm-hmm.
There is something special about humanity. And so, like, 100%, I'm on board with the Jewish thought there, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I mean, we live in Alaska, right? There's yeah. places in Alaska where you're like, dear Lord, why does anybody live there?
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I've been to spots in Alaska where you're there in the winter and you're like, it's minus 50 degrees outside. Why am I here?
Yeah, we're talking about Fairbanks.
I wasn't going to call it
Sorry, Fairbanks. I'm throwing you under the bus.
I wasn't going to call it by name. But, like, there's places in Alaska where, like, why are people here? Like, why would you be here?
There is a location, Barrow, where during the winter they get very, very little sunlight.
They get none.
Yeah. It is very, very dark for very long portions of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why would you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, incidentally, if you live there, stock up on your vitamin D. The winter's coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something about humanity that is, we're going to figure out ways to do that. So then they said that the second thing is that they talk about the commandments and free will. So they're given mitzvot, which is the commandments. And there's this prohibition against eating from the tree of knowledge. And it's seen as a test of their free will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have free will. Now, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Right? The consequences of Adam's disobedience then are going to highlight the choices of moral responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? And so what is our moral responsibility? We have the ability to choose. That's what free will is, the ability to do right or not do right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? By the way, this also comes up in the next story with Cain and Abel, where God says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is good, mm-hmm. won't you be accepted? But if you don't do what is good,
yeah.
evil is waiting at your door, waiting to devour you, but you must conquer it.
Yeah.
So the thing about this covenant and why you, of course, it's at the beginning of the Bible, so that's why you start with this covenant. But the intention of God from the very beginning for humanity mm-hmm. is inside this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The intention is for us to live, once again, in this Genesis 1 chiasm. It talks about living with God in a kind of life, a qualitative yeah. life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One that we're not defined by what we do, but by whose image we're made in.
Yeah.
And because of that image, we live in to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This reminds me, because we just recently were in the book of James, like sometimes people will say, you have to do good things to be a Christian. I was like, no, you actually need to accept Christ by faith, which is what James says. Mm-hmm. But if you have faith, it's going to be demonstrated in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not the things that make you faithful, it's the faith that causes things. Right?
Yeah.
And you can have deeds without faith, but you can't have faith without deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, like, there's this idea is like, if you're made in the image of God, then you're going to, it's going to bring about, if you're living into that image, it's going to be about, bring about stewardship. It's going to bring about justice. It's going to be about working the land and about expanding and stewarding things well. You can do those things and not be living into the image, but if you're living into the image, you're going to be these things,
mm-hmm.
right? There's going to be this qualitative light, not defined by the quantity of things you can do, but by the relationship that you exist inside of.
You have to choose that, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like these, because we've been talking about these covenants, and you have to choose to live into the covenant.
Correct.
That God has made for you.
Yeah.
And if you choose not to, then you're not going to be fulfilling it.
Which ultimately is the issue with Adam and Eve, and we've talked at length about it, but we'll come back to it again. They decide that they don't like the way the terms are being defined.
Yep.
Right? So what do?
It's like, nah. They go eat.
Right. I think that what you're doing is holding back from me,
uh-huh.
so I'm going to define this on my own terms. Right? I'm going to decide what is good and what's evil.
Yeah.
By the way, is there anything more destructive in somebody's life than than this statement where they're like, just do what's right for you? Now, within reason, because there is absolutely a certain truth to that if you are living a certain way. But if you're only considering yourself and nothing else, ooh.
Well, yeah, there's got to be, that statement's got to be taken with some balance, right?
Correct.
Like, because if you start superimposing what works for you onto somebody else,
yeah,
it's not going to work, right? Yeah. So there is a level of like, all right, do what's right for you,
right?
Right. But there's also a level with that of make sure you're not bulldozing over other people in the process, because that's what we tend to do.
Yeah,
is be like, well, this is what I do. This is what my life's about, and then you kind of push people aside.
There is we just in our small group yesterday, we were talking about these trees called their atads in the Bible. And they're these massive trees with this incredibly intricate root system.
Yeah.
But if you have a vineyard, you don't let an atad exist in your vineyard, because you have to rip it up and all the saplings and everything else, because the root system will suck the life out of everything around it.
Yeah.
And when you live only for yourself and you're sucking life from everything around you, like that's an atad.
Yeah.
That's an atad. It's a tree that's literally sucking the life out of everything around it. And the call of the Adamic covenant is actually to cultivate, to grow, to expand, to bring life.
Yep.
And there are times, like, because we just got done, this is Genesis 1. Sabbath, rest, important things.
Yep.
And there's a rhythm to that. Yeah. Right? You have to be able to take time to rest in the identity of Jesus, in the identity of God, right?
Yeah.
In the identity that you're made in.
Yeah.
But if you're only feeding into yourself, which is not Sabbath, then you're actually going to be sucking the life from everything else around you.
Yep.
Right? And so I think they're two ideas on opposite spectrums. And if you roll, actually, I'm not going to say that, because I think if you roll too far into embracing God in the Sabbath, that's a good thing. Right? But you're not supposed to Sabbath 7 days a week.
No, there's balance.
Yeah.
There's balance is what you're trying to say. Yeah. Is that like if you're like, oh man, I need Sabbath, and you're like, okay, and then every day is Sabbath, and then you're not actually reaching your community or getting out into the world you live in to share, to bring Jesus to that world.
Yeah.
Right? To steward those relationships well. Then you're missing the point,
right?
Right. So there's balance. You need that time with God, but also it comes back to the idea of loving God, loving people, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't do those two things separate from each other.
Correct.
Right. Like if you're loving God and leaning into who He is, you're naturally going to want to love His creation.
Right. Exactly. Love for God is naturally going to demonstrate it in your love for the other people around you.
Yeah, and that's illustrated here in the Adamic covenant, where when God's laying this out for them, He's saying, because of your relationship with me, you are now stewarding all of this.
Yeah.
Right? And when we try to steward something outside of the authority of God, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Or trouble happens, right? It doesn't go as well as we think.
So a couple of things that I think are really foundational to understand about the Adamic covenant is when you compare it to like the texts that are written from the world around it, the Mesopotamian culture and that area, it's incredibly personal.
Yeah.
It's incredibly relational.
Yeah.
This is a foundational relationship between God and humanity, and it establishes, I'm going to use this word, an intimate connection between God and humanity. Mm-hmm. Because I think that word is important. Not intimate in the sense of like husband and wife, but intimate is in like it is close and interwoven. God is like interweaving himself with his people.
I mean, we are called the bride of Christ, so
right.
Like I would say that intimate as in husband and wife would fit.
Yeah, it's not. I'm saying it for the weirdos out there that are going to take it to weird places.
Gotcha.
Right.
No,
so if you're a weirdo, don't take it to weird places. But it is an intimate relationship where we are being bound together. And that's also, if you read the first couple of chapters of Genesis, you're going to see that God is walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. That's a normal thing. It's normal for him to come out and call their names.
Yeah.
He has gone and he's educated and had Adam name every single animal that he's created, right? This is a regular part of their relationship.
Yeah.
So right off the bat with the Adamic covenant, we understand that God is a relational, intimately focused God who wants a relationship with humanity. And I think sometimes where we get skewy as we go along into Christian theology is we forget that that's the foundation. God wants relationship with his people, right?
I feel like the church has been coming back to that, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. There is a lot of people who are really starting to move back, which, by the way, also is being, anytime there's a move of God moving people back towards what's happening, there's also going to be pushback on both sides that are not quite right, right? And so, always get into the Bible and compare it to text.
Yes.
You know? But there is absolutely, there's a lot of churches and a lot of people who are doing some really good things, especially I want to focus on the global church. Y'all are killing it. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing so, like God is moving and I love it, you know, and it's starting to really impact, I think, what's happening locally as they, especially as they bring their passion and their fervor back into America.
Yeah.
Right. The second part is, so it's intimate, it's relational, but there's also there's work for us, mm-hmm. right?
We were designed for work.
We're designed for work,
right? Like, and so it's actually there. If you, and it's interesting because you, if you compare this to like some scientific studies, it will actually show things like laziness and apathy. People who lean into that have higher tendencies for things like depression, anxiety, suicide, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So like if you lean into that, like, well, I'm just want to be lazy with my life. Like you're actually going to naturally lean towards not wanting to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the reality is we have work to do. Like when we say yes to Jesus, there are, when we say yes to Jesus, we are leaning into who he's designed us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and we are designed to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Now, with that said, I've also heard ministry leaders take this and say, because we have work to do, here's the 5,000 volunteer things you need to do at the church.
Yeah.
On top of your full-time job. And here's this list of expectations. And then when, within a year, those people are like, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Right. There's balance there.
There is a regular conversation that I've had is people who come to the church and then they get used so much,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't put balance in their life as far as like rhythms and being able to take rest and different things, right? And they're like, man, it was really, I just needed to take a break for a couple of months, 3 months. Sometimes people have to take breaks for longer periods of time, not because God is exhausting them,
mm-hmm.
but because activity is.
Mm-hmm.
And ministry leaders, like, that is a really important thing for us to understand. It's why Sabbath is so important, and we're going to continue to always talk about how Sabbath is important, like learning how to rest. Actually, we have somebody who is a dynamite person, and they were talking about needing to sing less often on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the things that I said, is, and I mean this with all my heart, I said, you need to be here as often as it is ministering to you, and you're not burning yourself mm-hmm. off. Right. Because it's not going to do us any good for you to be there every week and grow further and further from God.
Amen.
Or just to exhaust mm-hmm. yourself to the point where you're not able to do anything else for God.
Amen.
The church is meant to, you know, we gather so that we can scatter, so that we can actually exist in the community.
Yeah.
One of the things Pastor Nick said a couple of weeks ago, and I really appreciated it, and I really agree with him here, is that we had something significant happen in town, and he said that he was wondering what our church was going to do, but then he looked, and our church was everywhere, but it was the people just mm-hmm. stepping into roles.
Yep.
And like the church didn't have to put out an announcement and call to action or anything like that. The people who were involved, because they're already ingrained in the community living Jesus,
mm-hmm.
showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could see people, you're like, that person is, you know, he's in my small group. He's on the speaking team. He's on the worship team. He's a guy that is, you know, hanging out in the pews. Well, we don't have pews, but in the chairs, you know, like we started seeing these people just showing up. And because when there was an opportunity to be stewards of what God has given us, they lived into that image.
Yeah.
Right? They lived into that commitment. Now, later, of course, we're going to talk about the Messianic covenant, but they're living into, right now, the Adamic,
mm-hmm.
which is that we were created for a purpose, to actually bring that purpose into the world and actually steward it and expand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah. We're always given a choice, right? We're given a choice in obedience. Like mm-hmm. you said, we have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And there are consequences when we don't live into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we live in a fallen world. There's a consequence of not living into the covenant.
Yeah.
The nice thing that we do see in the book of Genesis, and I want to get here in the end of chapter 3, is God goes through and he talks about all these different things that are going to happen, but he makes this statement to them. Sorry. Okay. He makes this statement to them, and it's actually at the back end of the curse that comes against the serpent.
Yeah.
And he says that, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and them. But he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So there's this foundational thing set up back in the book of Genesis that even though this is coming, mm-hmm. the consequences are here, they are not forever.
Yeah.
And luckily, we have the whole book, so we know how it's going to end, and yeah. we're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the Adamic covenant. This is the foundation, is that you were created for purpose, made in an image. You're given a job. You're given a function, and we're called to live into that. We have a choice, mm-hmm. live in or define for ourselves.
Yeah.
Both of them have blessings and consequences, right? But even in the consequences, God doesn't leave us there.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're like, what's the better choice? Go read the Bible.
Yeah, there is.
it makes it pretty clear.
Yeah, there is all throughout the Bible that people who are faithfully living into the covenant that God calls them, it ends very well for them.
Uh-huh.
And
all throughout, people who are not, it is usually not.
Yeah, it usually does not end well.
Yeah.
So when you tell God, I don't want to live in your house, He's like, okay. Let me know when you want to come back in.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. It's like the 18-year-old kid who's like, I'm going to make it on my own. And then 6 months later, they're like, Mom, help!
Well, they're like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live on my own. What is rent? Who's FICA? Like, why are they taking all my money? That's a reference to a TV show that people uh-huh. my age would probably get. But, you know, and then, yeah, there's so many things. I remember, just really quick here at the end of the episode for people. I remember when, my brother was, 16, 17, uh-huh. And he was like, oh, I'm going to buy myself my first car. And he went and he bought a car that was right at the edge of what he could afford. Mm-hmm. And, because, you know, he was like, well, I have the money and then I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z. And it was a Camaro. I forget what year it was. Now, I'm going to tell the story and then I'll come back and tell a funny part of that. You know what he didn't think about was gas and insurance and uh-huh. Upkeep and, you know, if tires go bad, you have to replace tires. So there's a lot of things that go into having a car and into maintaining it. It's not just the cost of the car itself, mm-hmm. right? You got to have oil changes, right? And that's when gas was, you know, cheap, relatively. Now it's a lot more expensive if you have to do that for a car.
Yep.
Now, the funny part of the story, and he did this a long time ago, so I'm not going to feel bad about sharing the story. He had taken the car and he parked it on, and it was a very small incline, but he didn't put the parking brake on, right? And so he got out of the car and it didn't move or anything like that. It was in position, but where we lived, there was the road, but then there was neighbors that had like a 6 foot drop from uh-huh. the road that you walked down. And so he went to go show somebody his car. He looks out the window, and the car had, like, gone, and it was, like, halfway over that six-foot ledge. So this is the first day he has the car,
uh-huh.
right? That it had slowly rolled over and then popped over there. Like, he's lucky it didn't. The whole thing didn't flip over, because that would have just been, you know, totaled. Yeah. But, oh, man.
So great.
That is my brother, who is wildly successful in his job and just one of the nicest people you will meet. But he has some stories around cars. So if you ever meet him, like, ask him some of those stories.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah. All right. So that is week number one, Adamic Covenant.
Yep. Until next time.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope you enjoyed this engaging conversation and gained valuable insights into the powerful message of love within the Bible.
We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Connect with us by sending us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. We greatly appreciate your feedback and ideas for future episodes.
Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Don't forget to hit that follow button to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join our growing community.
Thank you for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in the context of today's world.